So think about the biggest renovation project you can possibly imagine. Like, not just fixing up a kitchen, but a massive multi-generational housing project.
Right, a total overhaul.
Exactly. Before a single sheet of drywall goes up, you need a master renovation budget. You know, airtight rules for where the money comes from and exactly how it flows.
Yeah, because without a rigorous blueprint, a project of that scale just inevitably collapses into bureaucratic chaos. I mean, good intentions don't build houses. You need serious financial plumbing.
They really don't. And today we're doing a deep dive for you using a stack of sources, the actual legal text, parliamentary records, and our own research notes. We are unpacking South Africa's Reconstruction and Development Program Fund Act of 1994.
Yeah, the RDP Fund Act, assented to on July 5th and published July 13th, 1994.
Right. Basically, the blueprint of how a newly democratic nation structured the bank account for its own rebuilding. So to get this plumbing working, you first have to pump water into the system, right?
Exactly. You need capital. And Section 2 of the Act outlines a few different income streams for this. So you've got money appropriated by Parliament, domestic and foreign grants, interest on investments, and interestingly, the proceeds from the sale of state assets.
Okay, wait. That last one really stands out. Selling off state assets. I mean, is selling those to fund development basically just pawning the family silver to fix the roof?
Well, it sounds alarming if you view it purely as losing assets. But the mechanical strategy here is about creating an economic shock absorber.
A shock absorber? How so?
Yeah, so the government ministers coordinating these massive projects, they need immediate liquidity, like cash right now.
Right, because they have to start building immediately.
Exactly. If the state relied solely on squeezing taxpayers through standard parliamentary budgets, the sudden financial pressure would just fracture the economy before the foundation was even poured.
Ah, I see. So it takes the pressure off the taxpayer.
Precisely. Blending foreign grants with the sale of certain assets creates a high-pressure, immediate flow of capital without breaking the back of the taxpayer.
That makes total sense for getting the water flowing. But then you have to make sure it doesn't just leak out of the pipes. And the text describes some pretty heavy-duty valves.
Oh, yeah, very heavy-duty.
Like, this money doesn't just sit in a standard checking account. It's legally mandated to be locked in the South African Reserve Bank.
Not just locked away, but actively monitored. The mechanism the government built is essentially a dual-key system with multiple pressure gauges.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, you have a dedicated accounting officer holding the wrench, the Director General of Finance, and an independent national auditor constantly checking for leaks.
The Auditor General, right?
Yes, the Auditor General. It's designed to functionally stop corruption before it even starts. Plus, they built in a bypass valve. Any funds not immediately needed can be invested with the public investment commissioners to earn interest.
Oh, wow. So the vault actually grows while it waits.
Exactly. It's a very active system.
That sounds great in theory, but looking at how the Act handles local spending, there's a potential bottleneck. The rules require national and provincial authorities to surrender any unspent money back to the central fund at the end of the financial year.
Right, the classic end-of-year scramble.
Yeah. Doesn't that use-it-or-lose-it mandate just incentivize the classic March spending spree? You know, where a local department panic buys 1,000 office chairs just so their budget isn't slashed the next year?
You would think so, and that is usually the fatal flaw in government bureaucracy. But the mechanism here is actually quite clever. It's not a true lose-it scenario.
Wait, it's not?
No, because the master fund, the central reservoir, carries its total credit forward to the next year. It just pulls the idle cash back from the provincial accounts.
Ah, so it operates exactly like a closed-loop pressure system.
Right.
Water that doesn't come out of the local faucet gets pumped straight back to the main reservoir.
Exactly.
So the local pipes don't burst from bloated, inefficient spending.
Precisely. It solves a massive mechanical reality of economics. The government needs to force urgent implementation, getting houses built, getting water mains laid.
Right? There's a real rush.
But if a province hits a logistical snag and can't spend the cash, leaving it in their local account is just dead capital. Yanking it back to the central vault keeps the overarching development goals funded and earning interest.
Rather than just letting cash sit stagnant in a local puddle.
Exactly. It balances driving urgent coordinated implementation with absolute accounting discipline.
So for you listening, the takeaway here is that the 1994 RDP Fund Act wasn't just dry administrative paperwork. It was the meticulous financial engine required to turn ambitious development goals into physical reality.
Yeah, it proved that you need ruthless legislative plumbing to channel a nation's rebuilding. The architecture of the money is just as important as the architecture of the buildings.
Which leaves you with something to ponder. When a government sets up a highly centralized, highly regulated vault with this many valves and audits for national rebuilding, does that strict bureaucracy ultimately protect the mission?
It's a tough balance.
Right. Or does tightening the plumbing risk slowing down the very renovation it was created to finance? Something to think about the next time you pass a massive construction site.